Amen. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for the space that you've created. Whether participating online or in this room, God, we feel you. We know you're here. So God, make your presence known, even more so. As we praise you, as we thank you. God, as we have questions and concerns. God, as we bring our whole selves, our work in progress selves into this place. Continue to meet us here. Help us to experience you in a fresh new way. We pray this and we claim this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Well, good morning, New Albany family. It is so good to be gathered with you today. And today I want to tell you a little story. Once upon a time, I mean in the last couple of weeks, you can even hear it now, I have been losing my voice. And it's not very fun. When I lose my voice, well, it's just absolutely frustrating because I need my voice. Not only for Sunday mornings, but I need my voice to talk to my husband, to talk to my children, to talk on the phone, to talk online on my Zoom calls. I need my voice nearly every single day. And if you hung out with me for any length of time, you recognize that I talk all the time. If I'm breathing, I'm talking. I'm an outward processor. Anybody else an outward processor in the room? Yeah, there's a few of us here. I need my voice to talk. But when your voice is starting to go, you realize you have to be very careful with the words that you choose. You choose those words very wisely. And so you only use those words that encourage and lift up and love and compliment other people. You try to avoid all of those words that tear down, that are harsh, that are frustrating to other human beings. Brothers and sisters, when we have to choose our words very carefully, well, it kind of helps us in the long run. We don't got time to waste words on, well, frustration. We don't have time to waste words in petty arguments, words that hurt people or even hurt ourselves. You know, as I'm losing my voice, I recognize losing my voice helps me talk a much better talk. Well, maybe I should lose my voice a little more often. Words aren't always our best move. It's amazing to me. Suddenly we find ourselves using words as weapons. Well, don't believe me? Well, just open your social media feed or get that email that makes you kind of look sideways. And before you know it, you're using those words in a not so life-giving way. How does that happen to us as human beings? I mean, we get up in the morning and we have the best of intentions, but by breakfast, we find ourselves not talking the most healthy talk. Well, maybe it's because our children got on our ever-loving nerves. The dog didn't do what the dog was supposed to do. We spilled coffee on ourselves. We can't find our keys. And before we know it, well, our words are less than kind. Anybody relate to that? I know, exactly. But we are Jesus-loving folk. We are infused with the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of resurrection. How can we talk a better talk? Well, Scripture gives us a clue. Let's open our Bibles and our Bible apps and turn to the New Testament book of Ephesians. Now, Paul was writing to this group of Jesus followers at Ephesus. And there are these people, they've been baptized, they're trying to live this Jesus life, but everything around them is kind of weighing them down. A little bit of context for you. These Jesus followers in Ephesus, Ephesus is a mega pagan culture. They're surrounded by the influences of god and goddesses. The temple Artemis is one of the seven wonders of the world, and it is in this place. It's in Ephesus, their own backyard. It's a place where public discourse was expected and religious pluralism creates this like booming business. Criticism is in their blood. It's part of their DNA. And yet along comes this Jesus follower, this movement leader named the Apostle Paul, with a fresh message that in Jesus they could live a better life. They didn't have to spend their days tearing people down just to build themselves up. Resurrection was possible. So armed with that hope-filled spirit, Paul taught these Jesus followers that they, in fact, could talk a better talk. Let's revisit just a few of these scriptures. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. You were taught, Paul said, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. It's a mindset. Say that with me. It's a mindset. Old habits die hard. I mean, it is difficult. We are so used to living a certain way, eating a certain way, thinking a certain way, doing everything a certain way. It is hard to change. Can I get an amen? It's hard to change. And Paul understood that, and yet he was trying to help these Jesus followers in Ephesus understand that they, in fact, were new. Not slightly and better, not a little bit improved, but brand new, like fresh out of the box new. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. The way that they used to live, the thoughts they used to think, the old habits and hang-ups they had no longer needed to weigh them down. They no longer needed to define them. In Jesus, they are new. And that verb for new is not just new, but it also means being made new every single day. A new, fresh start daily. We are a new work in progress. But friends, this is a whole nother mindset, because it doesn't take us long to get in what the recovery community calls stinking thinking. Say that with me, stinking thinking. A couple of weeks ago, I got this like simple Facebook message on Facebook Messenger. And it said a few things that didn't, well, exactly make me happy. And so in that moment, instead of being the sane, rational, Jesus-loving person that I typically am, I wanted to blow up that human being with my words. And so I wielded, well, not my pen, but I wielded my keyboard, and I was getting ready to destroy that human being right then and there. And then I thought to myself, yikes. Come on, Pastor Rachel, what is happening? How do I go from this, like, Jesus-loving human being, 1 second, to ready to destroy a human being in the next? Stinking thinking. Well, it's a mindset. Paul reminded these Ephesians that they had to actually take off the old mindset to put on a new. It's like taking off an old t-shirt and putting on a new one. We got to remove the old way of thinking, the frustration, the hurt, the cattiness, the drama, and put on the new. Now, friends, this is a very intentional process. In that moment of wanting to blow someone up with my words, I had to hit the pause button and say, Rachel, what are you doing? What's this really about? Because let me tell you, my frustration with that message was not about that person. They had triggered something in me. What I call the thing behind the thing. You ever get on social media and you read a post and you get triggered? Right? There is something within you that just makes you want to say something. A friend, I recognize it wasn't so much about what that person was saying, but it was about what was in here and in here that they had triggered. And so I had to take a big old deep breath, reminding myself of who I am and whose I am. Reminding that I have this higher power that I can hold on to that helps me navigate and not blow this human being up. Because you know, when it comes to like writing things, texting things, posting on social media, what people say, it doesn't really have a tone, and so you're not exactly sure that what they say is what they're actually saying. Anybody ever read a text message and read it wrong and then blow someone up because you read their text message wrong? Oh, just me, sorry about that, right? I mean, it's just, this happens all the time to us. Right words start with right minds and hearts. Paul said it this way to the Jesus followers in Rome: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, God's good and pleasing and perfect will. It's a mindset. And well, family matters. Family matters. Say that with me. Family matters. I want you to notice something about what Paul was saying. Verse 25, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members
of one body.
We're all members of one body. This letter that Paul's writing, he's not writing to people outside of the faith. No, Paul is actually talking to the Jesus followers in Ephesus and how they're talking to one another. That's right, first century Jesus followers struggled to talk a good talk with one another. And that never happens today, right? Isn't it amazing that it's been thousands of years and still we struggle with this same kind of thing? It reminds me that this week, actually starting on Tuesday, April 23rd through May 3rd, the United Methodist Church, that's the denomination that we belong to, is beginning what we call a general conference. This general conference happens every 4 years. There are going to be nearly 3,000 people that are going to descend on Charlotte, North Carolina, 3,000 United Methodists from around the globe, and only 800 and some are actual delegates that are going to vote on what we call polity and legislation, all the rules and regulations of the United Methodist Church. Now, I would love to say right out loud that we are known for the way that we love each other and talk to each other in a really good talk, but that's just not true. Too often, we as followers of Jesus Christ have contempt for one another. In our humanness, we really want to get our own way. Now, I'm not saying there aren't things that we should be talking about, and it's going to get tense. It needs to get tense. But brothers and sisters, we have to be really careful to talk a good talk when it comes to the bigger body of Christ. I'm encouraging you all. I'm going to send out a letter later this afternoon to be encouraging us to be in daily prayer during General Conference. In fact, if you sign up for that text stream, you're going to get a daily prompt every single day for those approximately 11 days that you're going to be in prayer for the larger church. The only way that we're going to be able to talk a good talk is to start right there, is to be intentional about it. Now, here's an interesting piece. For thousands of years, Jesus followers have struggled to talk a good talk to one another. And brothers and sisters, that's oddly comforting to me, right? Because it says that we're all human. We struggle the same way that we struggle to get along with one another. They struggle to get along with one another as well. But Paul reminded us and them that we are members of one body. We are connected, and no matter how often we use our words to divide and separate and put up walls or reject one another, it is impossible to disconnect. We are a part of the same incredible body of Christ. My words can't get rid of you, and well, your words can't get rid of me. We are spiritually and supernaturally connected. I use this all the time when I know it's hard for you to believe, but there are people who like leave churches to go to other churches. I know that never happens, right? And so when people come to me and they say, oh, Pastor, I'm leaving, and so often those folks expect me to do something like be angry with them or like say something, and I'm like, no, fantastic. If you have found life in another body of Christ, high five Jesus, because guess what? We're all part of the same body. You can change addresses, but we are still spiritually connected. Now, let me be honest, that usually ticks people off, right? Because that's not what they want. They want to fight. I don't want to fight because there's a bigger picture here. There's a bigger body of Christ at work. And because we're so deeply connected, Paul went on to say in verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not grieve the devil, or do not give the devil a foothold. Now, friends, getting angry is not the problem. It's going to happen, but being angry, that's the problem. Or staying angry is the problem. It's what we have the most control over. We are going to get frustrated with one another. It's a fact of life. Differences are going to arise. You are going to get mad at me, and sometimes I'm going to get mad at you. Feathers are going to get ruffled. Cords are going to get kinked. We've all got our own beautiful mix of experience and mental pathways, and praise the Lord, we're not alike. And that's okay. In fact, it's awesome. Different is really good. But what's not okay is staying angry. Being angry is a state of mind, because Paul said when we don't deal with our anger, when we don't put it right out in front of us, it creates a perfect environment for evil to hang around in our heads, in our hearts, in our relationships. Subsequently, anger creates this real strain in all of our relationships, and it does open the door for evil to just be there. Whether we're talking about the church family, our own biological families. Friends, I've watched way too many families get caught up over a seemingly silly comment that has created division and hatred for years to come. Do you know how many comments at certain gatherings, like a holiday meal, a conversation about an aging parent, the way a child or a grandchild was treated, and suddenly there's a wedge between brother, sister, dad, daughter, and nephew. It's amazing to me how words, thoughtless words, spoken anger can really alter a family's entire legacy. I imagine we all have this in our family history, just one word, one phrase that changed it all. And if we don't individually deal with our own anger issues, when we don't address the words we use to hurt and harm one another, well, they come out sideways. Our anger just oozes, and it's dangerous. So let's deal with it. Let's find the thing behind the thing behind the thing and let the anger go. We can't give anger space to have a foothold in our hearts, in our heads, in our families, in our relationships. We can talk a better talk. Now, then we get to verse 28, which may seem a little strange. Anyone who's been stealing must no longer steal, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Now, this may seem a bit odd tucked in here with all these messages about words, but stick with me for a moment. The Apostle Paul has a really strong work ethic. He's a tent maker. He's a kind of person that believed that he didn't want to depend on the generosity of the others for his financial support. And this may seem a little random unless we recognize that work fairness is probably an issue among those Jesus followers in Ephesus. Maybe that's why they're really angry, that there are some people in the body of Christ that are doing their fair share and others who are not. I mean, that would never happen in this church, right? I mean, it never happens. But this stuff is real. This is real. This is what he's talking about. He said everyone contributes because everyone has something to contribute. Every member of the family is valuable. And because every member of the family is valuable, well, friends, we can talk a better talk. So that takes me to this point. No more trash talk. Say that with me. No more trash talk. Now, the Billups household, we're full of talkers. All you have to do is come to, like, dinner at the Billups house, and oh my goodness, you're not going to, don't breathe, because someone is going to talk over you. That's how it is at the dinner table. In fact, I have a really close friend, Matt Rawl, who's always hanging out with us when he's in town, and he's like, Rachel, your house is loud. Your house is really loud. Yes, our house is very loud. And it's so interesting to me, because all Topher has to say is, you know, Mom, that kid got on my ever-loving nerves. For me to be like, oh, snap, because I say that. I say people get on my ever-loving nerves. Do you see how our children, like, parrot us all the time? What we say right out loud, they just begin picking up our phrases, and before we know it, they are saying the things that we say, and some of them are wonderful and loving, and some of them, well, I'll pray for myself, right? I mean, they just pick up our vocabularies and our attitudes. Paul said it this way, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, that word unwholesome in the Greek is sapros, which actually means foul, rotting, or decaying. It's a word that's used to describe rotting fruit. Have you ever had a bag of apples that you get from the store, particularly if you're like me and you always order your groceries, only to discover there is one in that bag that's rotten? And then every single apple that has touched the rotten apple is now rotting. That's how it is with our words. When we have rotten words, rotten language come out of our mouth, it encourages everybody around us to do the same. Pretty much, it's rot all around us. James 3:9 says it this way, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings, we who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. Friends, this is all about our tongues. Right words spring forth from right minds and hearts. If our words are constantly getting us in trouble, maybe it's time for us to poke around in our hearts and our minds. What's going on in there? Are we angry? What's the thing behind the thing? Do you want someone to blame? Are you just looking for someone to side with you? Someone to take the heat for how you're feeling on the inside. It's the stuff on the inside that just comes tumbling out. We can't help ourselves. But praise God, that's God's specialty. God is not going to leave us alone in our struggle. God's going to be with us. Sometimes we just got to take time to deal with the thing behind the thing. Not only will we talk a better talk, but we'll get freed in the meantime. Just hand that stuff over to God. There's one more fallout from trash talk that Paul mentions. And he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of the redemption. Remember, Paul's having a family conversation. This is about the body of Christ. He's saying that you all are grieving the Holy Spirit when you're talking about one another. Don't use trash talk to talk about brothers and sisters in the faith. When you do, you're grieving God. Now, it took me a little while to get this one because, you know, we're human and we learn life lessons and it takes us a moment to figure it out. One time I had this coworker that was getting on my ever-loving nerves. And I was really frustrated with this person because they were just not treating me so well. And I thought to myself, because in my anger, I felt like I was real justified. I said, the Lord, what am I supposed to do about this? This person is being mean to me. And what I felt like the Spirit's prompting was like, Rachel, you're not supposed to do anything. I mean, other than create a boundary between you and that person. Quit letting that person hurt you. You know, love that human being at a distance. But let me handle that person. Because that's my beloved child. And I've got that person. You're not in control of that person. Let me be in control of that person. And for whatever reason, that kind of like flipped a switch to me. I realized that I can only control how I think, feel, and act. And I hate to tell you, your limitation is the same. We cannot control other human beings. Sometimes we got to create a boundary and love that human at a distance. At a distance. And as if that isn't clear enough, Paul makes it plain in verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Jesus loves you. Jesus forgave you, and because Jesus forgave you and loves you, you can forgive others. It's not just by your own power. We're not asking you to pick yourselves up by your spiritual bootstraps. No. We're asking you to deepen the power within, the Holy Spirit's power to work in your head and your heart so that what's in here can come out here. Now, forgiveness, let me remind you, is not saying what that other person did was okay. Forgiveness is actually freeing us up. Freeing us up to live without resentment and hate. So I wonder, is it time for all of us to lose our voice a little? Not literally, but for us to really choose our words carefully. When we're talking to one another, when we're talking about one another, we're getting ready to write something, speak something, to yell at that kid or grandkid. Could it be that we just ask ourselves a few simple questions? Is what I'm getting ready to say rotten? Is it rotting and decaying, unwholesome talk? Or does it have the power to build up? Because if it has the power to build up, go for it. But if it's trash talk, maybe it belongs in the trash. Friends, we live in a culture that is full of hatred and division and all so many words where people are not carefully choosing them. Could it be that we have this opportunity for such a time as this to talk a better talk? Let's pray. Lord God, I imagine every single one of us in this room and participating online, we've said some things, we've written some things this week that we aren't exactly proud of. So God, remind us what the source of those words are. Whether it's shame or anger, or blame, or just the insecurity within ourselves where we feel like we're not enough, or what that person said on social media triggered us so much that we just felt like we had to say something. Lord, I know that there are moments that we need to stand up for those who are marginalized, for those who find themselves beating up, even stand up for ourselves. But God, give us wisdom and discernment to know when to deploy the right words at the right time. And Lord Jesus, we pray for the big body of Christ, particularly the United Methodist Church, that every bishop, every district superintendent, every delegate, every person who finds themselves gathered as that body would use their words wisely to build up and to build a future full of grace and truth and love. God, we pray this and we claim this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let's stand and sing our final song.